Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Opportunity to come to share this word with your people once again. We thank you for giving us the ability to just do what we do, God. We thank you for everything that you've done, that you're still doing now. Give us knowledge, understanding, revelation of your word. We'll forever lift you, glorify you, magnify your holy and divine name. This is our prayer in your daughter's son, Jesus' name, and for his sake, every heart said amen. Well, amen, and we're grateful to God just to be here once again. Another night of Bible enrichment, so we're thankful, grateful to you. We're thankful for those that's tuned in tonight, Wondrous Word broadcast radio station tonight, and those that be tuning in here on our Facebook Live. We thank God for you tuning in. Look, we're still working on words and seeds of wisdom. Want to go and continue on with that, and welcome those tuning in. Continue with that and continuing to understand the things we need in order to be better people, better persons, and be able to help others. Amen? As we look at these words of wisdom, we finished with number 9 on last week. We got to the point and finished that with number 9. He was moving right along. And it was a wonderful time on last week as well. We talked about listening to mentors, and then we ended up with reflect on victories of Bible champions, those that had victories. We need to reflect on those. Tonight, we want to start off with number 10, loosen up and laugh. God bless y'all for tuning in, coming in tonight via Facebook. We thank God for you. Loosen up and laugh. You ought to let somebody know sometime as church people, we got to laugh. We got to laugh and we got to loosen up. You know, you can't be stiff all the time. In other words, when he say loosen up, you can't be serious all the time. Amen. You got to enjoy this walk of Christian, this journey. You've got to be able to enjoy it. If you can't enjoy it, there's no need of living it. Amen. You've got to loosen up. That's why sometimes we come in and people be sitting there looking all stiff, and you know, who's ever presiding over the service or whatever, tell you, get up, loosen up. Let's have a praise break or something like that. You know, you got to get the thing, your bones running and loosen. So you can give God glory. You can't just sit there the whole time. You got to know how to laugh. You know, sometimes folks say a little joke or two. Amen? So you can't just be serious and just sit around like there's nothing funny or nothing going on. You got to have a good time. Because one thing we got to understand, that we are being observed. You're being observed. People are watching you. Amen. Most of all, Satan is watching you. And what is Satan watching us for? Satan is watching you to see if his tactics are working. you just don't know. Satan is watching you to see, are my tactics really working? You know, am I doing that right? Did I put the right one on? Did I give him the right? He's watching you. People are observing you. People are looking to see, okay, are you really who you say you are? Are you really living the life that you're teaching? The life that you're preaching? The life, watch this, that since a lot of times we look at it as we got to live the life that we are teaching, the life that we are preaching, people always look at the preachers in that manner. You know, are you living the life that you're teaching? Are you living the life that you're preaching? And for those that say, well, I ain't no preacher, I ain't no teacher, I got you covered too. Huh? Are you living the life that you are witnessing? Oh, come on. Because if you're witnessing to those that are lost, you still should be living the same life. People are observing you. You're out telling people about the goodness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're telling people about God can deliver you, He can heal you, He can bring you out of whatever situation that you're in. You're witnessing to them because you're saying, look at my life or what He's done. Are you really living that life in which you are witnessing? It goes beyond just teaching and preaching. Witnessing for those that want to get deep. Amen. Huh? Satan wants to know if his tactics are working. You got to get to the point in your life where you laugh aloud and rejoice that your circumstances are attracting the attention of God. When Satan tries to see that his tactics are working, you ought to get to the point and start laughing. Because what you're doing, Satan, you really don't understand what you're doing. All of this is just attracting the attention of my Father. What you're trying to put me through, it just got God's attention. So hold on. He's trying to turn you against the word. Huh? Hmm? That's a good word, Pastor Gallon. God bless you. Amen. During this time of resurrection, the believers were a little tight in thinking that it was over. He's coming back from Sunday's message. The enemy thought it was over for me. They got tight. They was afraid. Oh, it's over for us. Loosen up. What he's saying, you got to loosen up. You got to laugh. Watch this. They was laughing. The enemy was laughing. Whoa, we got him. He said he's a king. He said, look at him up on the cross. He can't save himself. Ha, ha, ha. You're a king, but you don't have a crown. You're a king, but you nailed up on the cross. What you going to do? What you going to do, king? What you going to do? Huh? Look at him laughing. They laughing at him. Huh? We got to get to the point, even though it looked like it's a suffering, a major suffering, we got to be able to laugh because we understand the end of the story. Because he said what was going to happen. I'm going to get up again in 3 days. You can destroy this body, but in 3 days I'll build it up again. It's not over for me. They thought it was over for me. They thought Jesus had been killed. Huh? So in order for them to understand that, guess who had to laugh last? That's why he got up on the third day. You thought it was over for you, boy, dog. Look, and I'm going to remain around here with you for another 40 days. Let you know that this is real. Come on. When you understand the power of God and who he is and what he can do, you know that you can laugh, loosen up when you're going through. Huh? This is what he's saying. Loosen up. Because guess what? It's getting the attention of your Father. Satan, all he's doing is seeing if his tactics is working to see if you're gonna fall down and get up under a weeping willow tree, and if you're gonna give up, if you're gonna go against the grain and go against what God is doing, go against leaders, go against ministry, go against whatever. He's trying to see, is it really working? Are they really destroying what God is building? God said, it got my attention now. See, what happens when the enemy tries to come up against you and get God's attention? You're trying to kill. You're trying to destroy what I'm building. Yeah. you got my attention. If you want to get God's attention, the enemy wants to get his attention, try to tear up something that he's built. Hold on. Wait a minute. Now you can hear God. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Now they got my attention. Now they messing with one of my soldiers. Messing with somebody that I chose. Let me step in. Hold on. Let me step in. Hey, G. Oh, come on. You come out here, Holy Ghost. Come on. Oh, come on. Let's watch this. Let's watch this right now. We're going to have to step in here in a minute. Let's see how they handle it. Can't you imagine the conversation with the Trinity? Let's see how they're going to handle this, what they're going to do, how they're going to take care of this. Because if we have to step in, we got to step in quick. That's why I say he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Sometimes God just sits back when you've gotten his attention, and he sits back just to see what are we going to do. Because he's given us an anointing. He's given us the spirit to handle certain things in life when the enemy brings against us. If the enemy's trying to get you, what are you going to do? Are you going to resist him? Or are you just going to take heed and adhere to him and give in to him? Because if you resist him, he's going to flee. You got to know how to laugh aloud with stuff. Oh, God. Oh, glory, laughing and rejoicing at the same. Oh, glory, look at this devil. What the devil, you came in on the wrong day today. Now, you must know. Not today, devil. Because now, when you start laughing, and what? When you laugh and you going through, it go another. When you're going through and you begin to laugh and rejoice, that's attracting God's attention as well. Because now God says, I know I got the right one. I know I got the right one. I chose the right one to go through what they're going through. Because look at them. They're not letting the enemy get the best of them. And you got to get to the point in your life where you don't allow the enemy to get the best of you. When you got the anointing of God and you got God on your side, you ought to be able to tell the devil, oh, you're messing with the wrong one today. I refuse to let you get up under my skin to take me off my focus of doing what I need to do. I'm going to get out here and make things happen. Then I'm going to come home. I'm going to eat me a good meal, lay down, thank the Lord for keeping me throughout the day, get up the next morning and start it all over again. You will not win, devil. And you got to get to the point of telling him you won't win. I don't care what you're trying. You ain't going to win this one. I've been through this one before. I've seen this before. But guess what? I got this. Miracles are always birthed when things seem to be their worst. When it seems that like it's about to fall out, when it's at the worst point in your life, that's when miracles are birthed. That's when God step in because he knows, look, you laughing at the situation. Everybody else trying to tell you, you should be crying, you should be worried, you should be doing this and doing that. But here it is, you have given God praise and rejoicing because of what I'm going through, knowing that I serve a God that's able to take care of it. So now, because I can show him that I believe in him, now my miracle will be birthed. Come on, when you can show the Lord that you believe in him in spite of where you are in life. You may be at the bottom. Come on. But you understand God made the bottom also. So if I'm on the bottom, that means God has given me strength to hold some things up. Now I will be able to hold up some things. Because you can't have a foundation if there's no bottom.
And sometimes you just might need to be the foundation. You might need to be the one to hold something up or hold somebody up or help somebody get back together. You may just have to be that foundation. So if God can say, look, I got a foundation. I got somebody that's not afraid to put some things on their shoulders. Because I understand he's not going to put more on me than I can bear. See, that's what keeps me going. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but that's what keeps me going when I find myself in situations. I understand God won't put more on me than I can bear. Huh? Because if I can't bear it, he's definitely not going to put it on me. So, right. So when that thing comes and when it's too heavy for me, he got that fixed too. He got that under control. Since it's too hard for you, cast your care on me. For he cares for me. For his yoke is easy and his burdens are light. Since you can't do it, just give it to me. I can handle it. Come on, I can handle it. I ain't going to put too much on you. But see, one thing about it, while we're so heavy and heavy laden and burdened down, the reason why we're trying to keep holding on to stuff, come on, that we know we can't bear. And then turn around and tell somebody, give it to me. We start just adding stuff on it. Give it to me and instead of just letting them know, look, okay, God, I can't handle this. This one is for you. You trying to make folk think that you're so great that you can hold the whole world on your shoulders. And the only thing it's doing is tearing you down. And you're miserable and frustrated and in distress and trying to make somebody else's life just like yours because you refuse to cast your cares and your burdens on the Lord. You can't handle everything. Who am I teaching to tonight? You can't handle everything. Sometimes you've got to get to the point, I'm casting my care, so now, God, I need you to help me, direct me in the direction and the place I should go to make this a whole lot easier on me. But if we come around thinking that we're so big, bad, and we can handle everything, then every time you turn around, you in tears. If you can handle everything, why are you crying? Why are you drinking tears for bottled water? If you can handle everything. If I can handle everything, there will be no time a tear will fall out of my eye. Because I can handle it. But when it gets so heavy, you get to trying to act like you're so big and so strong and try to shine in front of people. But then you turn around and break down. Instead of you saying, God, I can't handle this. I need you to handle this for me. And then we get to the point where we can handle so much, we turn away our help. Each bishop. God send you help, but you reject it. I got this. No, you don't. Look at you. If you had it, you wouldn't be depressed. Amen. Come on, teach this thing tonight, Bishop. If you had it, you wouldn't be worried all the time. If you had it, you wouldn't be trying to throw in the towel. If you had it, you would be joyful. If you had it, you would have a smile on your face. You wouldn't be looking mean as hell every time somebody looked at you. If you had it. Come on, if you had it. We talking about the stuff that we got, but our expressions and our actions show differently. You don't have it. You're not Superman. And guess what? He don't have it all. Because kryptonite take him out. There's always something that will take you out. Come on. There's always going to be something that will make you cry. that will make you want to give up. There's going to be something in your life. If you keep living, there's going to be something that you cannot handle. Superman couldn't handle kryptonite. He could handle everything else, but that one little piece of rock he could not handle. So what makes you think you can handle everything? You got to know who to go to. That's when miracles start happening, when things are at their worst. Satan, he's sensitive and very capable of being discouraged. Satan is sensitive. Very capable of being discouraged. So to make the effort, you got to make the effort to rejoice. He gets upset when you're rejoicing when he knows you should be crying. He don't like it. He know you should be depressed, and I'm talking about discouraged, and I'm talking about pulling your hair out and everything else, ready to stab your brains out, and you make an effort and rejoicing in what you're going. The enemy doesn't like it. He don't like it. So you got to know how to defeat the devil with his own tactics. You got to know the tactics. He ain't got no new ones. He don't use new ones. He just use different people. That's what it is. The enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's his same tactic that he's been using. You just got to know. You can't have that. You can't look at your life right now. You can't have everything that you want. That you can't get that. You don't have the education to do that. But look at Moses. He didn't have an education. He didn't have a good speech. He didn't have a great speech. But look, God still used him. He couldn't talk, but he still used it. He had a good education, but he couldn't talk. So don't allow that the enemy try to use against you to say that you can't be who God wants you to be. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bone. When you laugh, it's like a medicine. But a broken heart, it stirs the spirit, it drieth the bones. You're nothing. You're just dry. Come on, when you don't have a good heart, a merry heart, it's just all you're gonna do is dry up. Easily. You might just come and touch you. You in pain. That's why folk get discouraged and upset when folk look at them. You dry. Your spirit dry. Your bones are dry. You can't take nobody looking at you. Come on. Nothing. You can't take nothing. But look at somebody got a merry heart. Folks can say what they want to say. Hey, that's all right. Hey, you're joyful still. Because you understand, sometimes you got to laugh at ignorance. Number 11, replace successes in your mind. You got to replace some successes in your mind. Where in your life have you been successful? Think about some of the past battles and the struggles that you've gone through, that you came through. When you're going through some things, you got to replace some stuff in your mind. Look, I've been through something a lot worse than this. And if this is the best you got, devil, you might need to take that somewhere else. Because if God brought me through one of my worst struggles, and I made it through that, And you come up here with this little small thing. You mean to tell me that's the best you got? If that's all you got, you need to go on back to hell. Take that back with you, because that ain't going to work. Because I remember my past struggles, my battle that I've gone through. And I've been successful. Even when it looked like I was about to go down. I was successful in this. That's why when David, when he was getting ready to go up against Goliath, he remembered some things. Some past battles. He remembered his past success. I remember when I went and I killed the lion and the bear with my bare hands. Hold on. You think you something? Look, I ain't have a weapon. I just had these hands. And sometimes you got to be careful because these hands are dangerous. All I need is these hands. Come on. These hands will take you out. These hands are registered. But these hands, they registered. Look, now, what pop up? These hands are registered. They'll take you out. They'll say, don't let, watch this, don't let the look fool you.
Amen.
Just because you can make noise, just because you can stand up on two of your paws and stand up and stretch and you're a lot bigger and you can make some noise. You got claws you can scratch. A lion scares people because of his roar. A bear scares people because when he get up on his paws, it's so big and come at you. Come on, he scares you. But look, it doesn't matter how loud your roar is. It doesn't matter how high you stand when you stand up. I got these hands, and with these hands, God will help me be delivered from your roar and your stands. So he killed the bear and the lion with his bare hand. He remembered his past struggle. Remember what he went through. So the lion, you ain't nothing. Whatever that giant is in your life, you ought to say, that ain't nothing. I went up against something far more worse than what I'm facing right now. Okay. Brother Mandiz, teammate, good to see you. Happy belated Easter to you as well, my friend. To all of you colleagues, we see you out there. Lady Wright, she's on tonight. She out there. God bless all of you all. Pastor Sanders out there, God bless you all. Look, you got to understand, I done been through something. So when I remember this, I put this in my mind, I understand that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I understand that, and I know that I can be more than a conqueror. I can come through this. Because you got to understand something. Yesterday is your history of successes. Yesterday is your history. It's in history now. Your history of successes. What did you conquer yesterday? What did you defeat yesterday that folks said you wouldn't defeat or you wouldn't come out? What happened yesterday that made you understand and know, look, I can do this? Thought it was done, but look here, look at me now. I've come through this. Remember them. You got to remember. Talk about them. How do you remember? You talking about them. Oh, boy, I tell you, the enemy got up this morning. He thought he was going to take me out and everything and had my mind going the wrong way. All of a sudden, I just looked towards heaven and said, Lord, renew my mind, get my mind right. So as I told the Lord to get my mind right, give me strength to deal with this devil, guess what? I took that devil out. He thought he was going to take me out, but I took him out. I ended my day laughing at the devil. Because I understand. I'm talking about it. I'm telling folk about it. And I'm reminding myself, whatever I go in and face in my tomorrow, I already done that in my yesterday. Because I'm talking about what God did for me in my yesterday. So when my tomorrow get here, I'm ready to face whatever the enemy has for me. Because I got God on my side. Huh? Yeah. Talk about it. Satan is the only one that you will irritate. When you're talking about your successes, don't you know that irritates the enemy? I wish they would just pop. Come on, he just, I know they won. I couldn't get them this time, but I'm going to get them. Because he's still strategizing, trying to go back and find one of them old tactics that he's going to use that he knew you, that used to get you. Huh? He knows what used to get you with that which lured you in. He's trying to decide now because you're irritated. Oh, I'm gonna get that sucker. I'm gonna go back and get them. They think they got. Oh, wait. I got something for them. I'm coming after them a little bit more force the next time I'm coming. I know what their weaknesses were, so I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna try and face them with their weaknesses and see if they really saved, if they really turned away from it, and see if they really who they say they are. I'm coming back after you, but when you get to that point and he come after you and you defeat him in that one too, you're really irritating him. You're really irritating him. Now what happens when you really irritate him? Now he's going to go and try to get somebody close to you. Come on. Come talk. Come. I'm telling you, he's going to come try to get somebody close to you to really get on your nerves, to get you back into the place you used to be. He knows what to do. Joshua 4, 5 through 7. Joshua 4, 5 through 7. And Joshua said, take you up, every man, a stone upon his shoulder, that this may be a sign, that when your children ask, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. You got to be able to let your children know when they see the stone. He said, take up some of that and remember that you will remember that you can tell your children, your grandchildren, your children about. Oh, this right here, I got this when things were so heavy and so hard in my life, and they told me I would never come out of Nakoma. And look what God has done. That's why you got pictures. Of certain things. Some people have pictures of what? Watch this. They have pictures of when they were strung out on drugs. Huh? And then here's a picture 5-10 years later how they're looking, because it's a memorial of what God have brought them from, how he delivered them. You ought to be able to let somebody know, or let your children know, look, I've been delivered from some stuff. And this is a memorial. That's why when you got your photo album, you be going through and all this stuff. You be, oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember, I remember, because it's a memorial. You can tell them about that time. You can tell them. I put something up on the page the other day. It was so funny, so amusing. When I looked at it, someone sent it to me. I know a lot of us in here, some of these little ones right now, little babies, don't know anything about a rotary phone. Come on, and watch. The young girl was on there trying to, she was seeing the phone, and she had the earpiece on the handle, on the receiver, didn't pick it up, and she was seeing the letters and the numbers in there. She was in there pointing them, trying to text, didn't know how to work the phone. Huh? Then the lady said, you got to spin it, you got to put your finger in and turn. She was hitting it and hitting it a little bit, and watch it. It wouldn't do anything. She's still trying. I don't know how to work this. What you mean you don't know how to work this? Come on, what you mean you don't know? You got to put your finger. No, you got to pick up the receiver in order if you're going to get any connection, call your mama. No, I don't know how to work this. Yeah, I don't know how to work this. A lot of things that we don't know how to work. And then God said, you got to have a memorial to remind your children, this is what I came through. See, this is what I came through, the rotary phone. Well, we had the dial, and if we didn't want to talk to anybody, how the phone was, we couldn't block them. The only way we blocked them, we took the handle off the receiver and just hung it up on the outside so the two little knobs will just be sitting up there and no phone calls can come through. That's how you got blocked. Come on. We got to make memorials for our children to understand some things. Because all they know now is this new technology. That's all they know. That's why he said, make these stones, get these stones, make them a memorial. So they will know this is what I had to come through. Come on. A lot of folks don't know about how you make ice cream with the old ice cream maker. You had to go out there and turn. How you had to turn the butter, make the butter and all. They don't know about the washing machine where you had to put them through the little wringer after you wash them where they can drain them out and before they go on the clothesline. Y'all, some folks don't even know what a clothesline is. A clothesline, clothespin. What is that? Come on, make a memorial. You got to let them children got to know. How do you make a memorial? Number 12, keep a journal of miracles. You got to keep a journal of miracles. God instructed Israel to pile stones to remind their children of the greatness of God. Right there in Joshua, we just finished reading. He told them, look, pile up some stones. Keep a journal. Let folk know this is what God brought me through.
All right.
What did he do for us? We don't even have a journal of what God has done for us. We don't have it written down. But you got a journal of how bad that man was to you? Come on, you got a journal for every other thing, personal thing. Oh, you're writing it down my whole life. I was abused as a child. You got it written down. You got every sad thing in your life. Come on. Yeah, some people, this is what they do. They write, they can tell you about every bad thing that happened in their life. Because they got it written down. Yeah, they call that diary journal. They got them diary. They write this stuff down. The day I saw him and he looked at me for the first time, and I got my first kiss. And now you got that stuff written down. Oh, this is what we had. We had a very nice setting, and this night there, this is when I first gave myself away, and not to the Lord, but to him. And now here it is, 9 months later. Yeah, I'm going there. 9 months later, here come the little kid. Huh? Look, we write this stuff down. But he says you got to make a journal of your miracles. What did God bring you out of? Where did he turn things around in your life when the enemy said it was over for you? He picked you up, turned you around. We can tell everybody about everything else except for what God have done for us. In your relationship, you can tell them about everything that happened bad and negative in your relationship about that significant other. When you go to court, you got documents. See, this is what happened. This date, this time, at this time of night, whatever. You got all of that written down. But can't tell me the day, the time, the hour when God saved your soul. That's good gospel right there. Got saved. You don't know. All you know is I got saved. Everybody say Sunday. Come on, everybody come on. Oh, Sunday, that's my day.
Somebody
said on a Monday. Somebody came on a Tuesday. Somebody came on a Wednesday. Early Thursday. Somebody shouted on a Friday. Somebody said on a Saturday. But Sunday morning. Yeah. Sunday morning. Then the whole church come down the aisle. That's my day. That's my day. You know yours, because it was Easter day. Look, you know yours. Come on. But people don't realize and don't know. Come on. I would be a fool to tell you I know my day, the hour, the time, all that, because I don't know. I said Sunday because that's the time I walked down and received the Lord. But what time? What day? Come on. I don't know the day. I know it was a Sunday. But in your journal, you got all that stuff written down about when somebody did you wrong, what they said. You got the time, exact time, seconds, minutes, hours, everything. He says, make a journal, keep a journal. Look for miracles every day. Unexpected miracles. You got to look for it. Unexpected, unplanned introductions to people, information, and that suddenly emerged. You got to look for miracles that happen every day. Folks just come out unexpected. You unplanned, you ain't think about it. This wasn't on your schedule. All of a sudden, God just allowed this miracle to happen in your life just like that. You got to get up every day walking out looking for a miracle, something to happen in your life, expecting something good to happen in your life. I expect God to do something tremendously in my life when I get up, when I walk out the door. God, okay, what you going to do today? And sometimes God put me in places unexpectedly where I'm a blessing, for someone. And sometimes God will put you in a place where you are a blessing for someone. Unexpected. Go plenty of places, and I see people, they're like, oh man, I wasn't even coming here to this store today. You know, all of a sudden, I just go to this store. Why am I going to this store? I wasn't planning on coming to this store. Then all of a sudden, somebody come up, and then I say, okay, I know why I'm supposed to come here. Because there's someone now God wants me to speak to or do something for. That's how he does things. And that's what he would do in your life if you walk with a level of expectancy. See, you expect it. You expect to get up. Expect him to wake you up. I expect God, he's going to get me up in the morning. Document these experiences daily. Your written journal is your private reservoir of mentors that feed your faith. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 17:14, and the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. It's all right to write some things down. Come on. The Lord told Moses, write this down in a memorial, for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears. In other words, I'm putting it in your ear. I'm reminding you of the miracle that God did for me at the Red Sea, at Jordan. I'm reminding you, this is what he did for me. And if he did it for me, he can do the same thing for you if you follow the instructions that God have laid down for you. He can do it for you. Walk with the level of expectancy. Yeah. Brother Johnson, yeah, you got to walk with the level of expectancy. I expect God to bless me. I expect things to happen for me, especially when the enemy say they won't happen or it couldn't happen. I expect to prove the enemy a lie. You ain't gonna get me. I expect that. Come on. You ought to expect victory. Today is a victorious day for me. I expect victory today. I expect it. Then when you expect miracles, when you write it down in Journal of Miracles number 13, make it a point to be thankful. You got to make it a point in your life where you're thankful for what God is doing for you. Because thankfulness produces joy. Thankfulness produces joy. In other words, when I'm thankful, you don't let nothing steal your joy. Because I'm thankful just to be here. It could be worse, but I'm thankful. Come on. That I'm going through. I might not like what I'm going through, but I'm thankful because I'm going through it and I'm not setting up camp in it. I'm not going to be in it very long. So it gives me joy to know that I'm coming out of this. And that's how you have to look at life, knowing that I might be going through something, but I'm thankful that I'm going through, because I'm joyful that I'm not going to stay in this situation. Yes, ma'am. Because some folk wish they could take a medicine. Thankful about it. You got to find the good part about situations. A lot of times people want to find the negative or the bad parts about things. Find the good part. Be thankful of the good part, because it does not take a genius to locate, discern, or detect flaws. You ain't got to be so smart. Huh? You ain't got to be Dr. Seuss. You don't have to be, huh? Come on. Sigmund Freud. You don't have to be that to be able to detect some flaws in your life, that something is wrong. Look, a baby knows when something is wrong. A baby come up and say, "What's wrong?" They understand and know when something is wrong with you. But a lot of times we show it through our expression, the way we look. You can tell when somebody is sick. Doesn't take a genius to figure that out. That's how you looking. You give a look or some type of positioning to let somebody know something is wrong with you. When tears coming down your eyes, it don't take a genius to know you're crying. But babe, why are you crying for? That's what they ask you. Why are you crying for? Huh? I don't know why she crying for. They know something is wrong with you. But we try to be so tough. Ain't nothing wrong. Okay. You got to find out that it takes great awareness to see the good things of life. Huh? although you may be crying, I still see something good. What do I see? God gonna wipe tears from your eyes. You ain't gonna have to cry no more. Whatever bothered you, God is gonna deal with it, and you ain't gonna have to cry about that anymore. He'll come through for you. You got to get to the point in your life where you savor God's everyday blessing. Your eyesight, your hearing, your ability to speak. Huh? And the thousands of things to be happy about. There are some things you ought to savor every day that God is blessing you with. I might be slow, but I can still see. Come on. I can still use the activity of my limbs. I can still hear. I may not hear everything, but I can still hear. Come on. I may not be able to walk as fast as you, but I can still walk. Thank you for letting me still be able to walk. Still be able to talk. Still be able to feed myself. Still be able to write my name. I'm thankful. Some folk lose their minds, don't even know who they are, can't even spell their name, in fact, write it. Come on. There are some things we ought to savor of the blessings that God is blessing us with every day that we take for granted. We take a lot of things for granted. Just because you ain't living in Beverly Hills don't mean you shouldn't be happy. Huh? Everybody can't go down Rodeo Road and shop. Huh? But if I can go down Overthorpe, I'm just as happy. Huh? I'm just as happy to shop with God. I'm thankful that I can shop wherever God has allowed me to shop at. I may not live like you. I may not drive like you, but I'm thankful for what I have. It's getting me from point A to point B. I still have a roof over my head. I got food to eat. I'm thankful. Thankful for what I got. Because some things we have that some things we don't have that we should have based on the decisions that we've made. And because I made this decision, this is why I got to live like I live now. This is why I have what I have. But if I'd have made the right decision, then I could have been sitting here in a gated community. I could have been driving a Mercedes. You know, I could have had acres of land. I could have had, but because of the decision I made, this is why I'm where I am now. But because of that, I'm still happy and thankful that I still have this. So I make the best out of what I have. And don't worry about what other people say about it. Don't worry about what they say. I'm happy, I'm thankful that I can put gas in this car and drive where I need to drive. I might can't fill it up, but I can put 20 in there. Come on, I'm thankful that I got the 20 to put in there. That's how we ought to be. Nehemiah 8:10 first. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Romans 1:21. When they knew God, they glorified him. Not as God, neither were thankful. When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's all Romans 1:21. It's all about them. When they knew God, they glorified him not. Yeah, because I did all this. Oh, they did nothing for me. No, it's because of me. They were not thankful. for what God has did for them and brought them through. Some people are just not thankful for God waking them up in the morning. What's good about this morning? I still got this headache. I still got this condition. Why should I be thankful to God? Because I still don't have a leg to walk with. I still, my voice ain't still where it need to be. Why should I be thankful to God? I ain't got a whole lot of food in my refrigerator. Why should I be thankful? I'm still robbing Peter to pay Paul. I can't pay my night bill. I can't pay this bill. Why should I be thankful to God? They weren't thankful. And a lot of us are like that, not thankful, because we talk about we still in situations and circumstances. We still the lowest part of the totem pole. We don't have a job. We don't have this. We don't have that. We are not thankful because we are not living like the Joneses. But became vain in their imagination. And their foolish heart was dark. Just bitter. Just selfish, nasty. I'm going to stop on this one. Savor each moment. 14. Savor each moment. Savor means to taste, feel, and extract all the pleasure and the benefit of each moment. Savor each moment. Got to savor each moment. Because someone has well said, you are going to be on a journey longer than you will be at the destination. Come on, did you hear that? You're going to be on the journey longer than you will be at the destination. So you got to enjoy the journey. Each moment, this is a journey. I'm enjoying the journey. Some might not make it. And some make the destination. Some make it to the destination. In other words, look at how you go, not going to stay in the destination longer than you are on the journey. Can I prove it to you? Can I show you? Can I prove it to you? Prove it, I shall. Because my destination on Tuesdays is to come hear the true praise. I only stay here true praise about an hour and a half. But my journey takes me 3 hours. Come on. It takes me 3 hours, about an hour and a half here, an hour and a half back. And sometimes my destination, I'm just here for 30 minutes or so. Then my journey. So I got to savor the journey. Looking at the trees, looking at the fields and the things and seeing what God is doing. I savor the journey because God is showing me some things, talking to me, we're speaking to each other, and I'm savoring that now because when I get to my other destination, I'm only there for a moment, then I'm back out on the road again doing all of this. So we got to savor the journey. I wasn't in the military long, but I savored the journey. I didn't play football very long, but I savored the journey. I'm thankful that I had an opportunity. Come on. Always be where you are. Always be where you are. Do not permit your mind to race miles ahead of where your body is. Always be where you are. Do not permit your mind to race miles ahead of where your body is. Come on, you got to say with a moment, where are you right now? You're trying to be all the way over there. Come on. You hadn't even gotten right where you are right here. Taste now. It is the future you have been talking about your entire life. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You ought to tell somebody the time is now. Right where you are. Right now. Right here. Savor where you are. Learn everything you need to learn where you are. Don't try to be so fast to get where you are, where you are. I was talking with one of my business partners today, talking about the business. Like, preacher man, I tell you, you know, we listen to people on conference calls and say some folk I don't even listen to. Because a lot of times you got people that have made it to the top and they millionaires. Watch this, and they vice presidents and regional presidents and vice presidents of this and that and the other. And the only thing, they get you on the line trying to tell you how they made it where they are. But when you sit there listening to them, they really aren't telling you nothing. So why should I waste my time listening to you, and you're not going to give me the plan, you're not going to give me the outline of how you got there? Because the only thing you're focused on is making more money. So tell me, how did you get this? Don't tell me that I got to focus. I already know that. That I got to put in the legwork. I already know that. I know what I have to do as far as being in a business. But tell me the steps. Tell me your plan. You won't reveal your plan because you don't want nobody to be where you are. That's what people do. They won't reveal their plan to you because they don't want you to be equal to them or go beyond them. So it's all right. Talk, if you're going to talk and tell somebody how to do it, the steps, what you need to do certain things, if you want to help somebody. If you're all about helping people and not helping yourself, you won't have a problem with revealing your plan. Are you with me? God bless you. We thank God for you on tonight, Wonders Word Broadcast. We thank God for you tonight, each and every one of you here on campus tonight.